Hello, podcast listeners. We know podcasts are a great way to catch up on a program that you may have missed on KSJE, and it's provided as a free service of this radio station. But you know, KSJE is now listener-supported, and so while you enjoy this podcast, we hope that you'll also take some time to join KSJE. Become a member today. It's quite easy to do. Just go to our website at ksje.com/support and pick the level of support that best matches your budget. Thanks again for listening. Here's your podcast.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Megan Cullop, along here with Scott Micklin and Scott Duran.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Megan Cullop and Scott Duran.
Good morning, everybody.
Nice to see everyone. It's been a minute.
What is going on? You were off gallivanting, then we had the holiday.
Right. You're right over there, Scott.
Yeah. The hair freaked me out. I thought the headphones.
Someone needs a haircut. Yeah. Okay. That's all right. That's just your look.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I do the hair flip.
That's okay.
Everybody. Treat for everybody.
It's okay. But yeah, we haven't been together in a while, so now we're all, the gang's all back together.
Yes.
It feels good.
It does. So, good to see both of you. Of course, Scott, I see him every day, and he sees me every day, but you, I haven't seen in a couple weeks.
I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah.
Hot minute.
Right. Why didn't we see you for so long, if you want to tell?
I took a few days off.
You are entitled to it.
I took a vacation.
I don't know about that.
Oh, all right. Ouch. Tough crowd back on the show.
To free days off. Okay.
It was mostly relaxing, I would say. I mean, it wasn't really. Oh, no. I wasn't on the beach or anything, but you know, I was running around.
That's right.
A major American amusement park.
Yes.
You guys could figure out where that was, but it was fun. It's fun to get away.
It was a birthday celebration for your friend.
For a friend of mine, yeah. Yes. We all kind of went. So we all kind of converged on this. Major American amusement park, and
I need to join your friend group. Holy moly!
Right, yeah.
Right, that's a high cost of admission. I know. It's my birthday. Like, come to the theme park.
Right. Well, that it was a big ask, but they were very grateful. I think that folks joined them, and we had a great time. So yeah, it was a lot
absolutely
of fun.
A big ask.
How was everyone's Thanksgiving?
You know what? It was very turkey-ish.
All right.
It was delightful.
Was it good?
It was
lovely. I know we're concerned. I think the last time we were together about your casserole.
I had to supply casserole. Let me tell you what happened. So it was the green bean casserole, which I was told for weeks ahead that this is the easiest one.
Mm-hmm,
you can't mess it up.
Right.
And you also can't poison anybody because everything's already like actually cooked. You're just like warming it up.
So idiot proof.
But my oven, I have figured out, is not as hot as it proclaims to be.
Oh.
So I pulled it out at the end of the cook time, and I was like, why is it soupy? It's not supposed to be soupy. What's going on? So then I took it over to the house that was hosting, and I'm like, this is soupy. How are we going to fix this? They just put it in their oven for a bit longer, and it turned out great.
And it went, nice.
So
it was an oven malfunction.
I gotcha. So meantime, what have you been eating that hasn't been fully cooked out of your oven? Is everything all right?
Right? I was like, no wonder all those frozen pizzas were kind of like soggy.
Right.
I just thought it was DiGiorno the whole time, but I think it was
the
oven.
The way DiGiorno makes a pizza.
Yeah.
Well, glad it worked out.
Yeah.
And now you were probably the celebrant of the dinner.
Yeah. People loved, it's a great American classic, so people love the green bean casserole.
There you go.
Well, it was great. We bought a huge bird. The bird was 20 pounds.
Wow.
That was...
How many people were there, I guess we should say?
Well, there were nine people
there. If it was just for
there,
you, that's a lot of turkey.
No, yeah. There were nine, which is still not enough. Like, the 20 pounds was still more than enough, but then we each took leftovers.
Y'all got to eat 2 pounds of turkey.
Yes. Yes. So my dog ate about 1 pound.
Okay.
And I ate the other pound.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, it's a great holiday. It's always fun to give thanks and be together with friends and remember what it's all about, the holiday season.
Yes, and it was fun.
Thanks. So there you
go. How about you, Scott?
Yeah, I had a nice gathering with some friends and got to visit and had some great turkey. And I contributed soda pop.
Soda pop.
Yes.
Hey.
That was my contribution. Yeah. So, can't go wrong.
Mess it up. That's pretty
couldn't
easy.
Mess it up.
Did you make that at home?
I did not. No, I did not. So, there you go. But anyway, we want to remind our audience that this is our That's Interesting program where we want them to call in, right?
Yes.
We can't do the show without you, everybody.
Tell us about your Thanksgiving.
So, yeah, you could share what you did on Thanksgiving or anything else you'd like to share. So give us a call and let us know. The phone number, of course, is 505-566-3909. Again, that number is 505-566-3909. The phone lines are open, so give us a call, and we will get you on the air, and you can tell us a little bit about your Thanksgiving or whatever else you want to share.
Yes.
Right. So,
there you go. But the phone lines are open. We fixed them. They weren't open. They weren't working earlier in the week, but they are working now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I know. Always fun, right?
It's always some sort of tech demon running around.
Right. Exactly. So
always.
But yeah. So we'd like everyone to call in.
Scott, you're very good at your job. You know what I mean? You know how to fix things.
What? Are you just saying that because you're about to go on vacation?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I do.
Are you going to a major American theme park?
Yes. No.
He's going to a major American state.
Yeah, I am. So. Like right next door.
There you go.
Which one?
The big one.
The bigger one, yeah.
Texas?
Yeah.
Oh, Texas. Why would you go to Texas?
I got some family out there.
Yeah.
So I told them I'll go visit them.
There you go.
That was nice.
They're my cousin and my Call of Duty friends.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
I've known them for years, you know, through my cousin. They all used to live in Albuquerque, and they all grew up together, so they all moved out there with the same job.
When's the last time you visited them? It's been a while, right?
I actually never visited them the whole time they went to Texas. It's been about 2 or 3 years since they moved out there.
Okay.
So
nice.
But, cool.
So, yeah, I'll be here all alone.
Oh.
I know.
I'll have to stop in.
Stop in and say
bring some soda pop.
Isn't Helen going to be here?
Oh, yeah, she'll be here.
Helen, who is the unsung
our student worker, has been wonderful. Yes, so she'll have to deal with me. Poor thing. That's really more on Helen than it is on me. She'll have to deal with me, but that's okay. So there you go. So what are we talking about this week?
Well, so Henry Kissinger died yesterday at 100 years old.
Right,
a whole century of foreign policy. I mean, obviously not when he was a little one, but he started pretty early. So I have all sorts of Henry Kissinger facts.
Okay.
So
I mean, think of how many presidents he
advised.
He consulted and right?
So. Yeah. I mean, famously, of course, Nixon and Ford in an official capacity, but then he went back and consulted Clinton,
right.
Bush. But he grew up in Germany.
That's right.
He was a German Jew.
Right.
So they fled when he was about 15 during the Holocaust to America. Because he was fluent in German, he was very bright, they assigned him in an intelligence unit in the Battle of the Bulge. So he actually was
World
a
War
hero
II.
Of the Battle of the Bulge because nobody else in the command, even though he was just a private, nobody else was fluent in German in the group. So he was promoted. So he did great work there. Then he went to Harvard and got his doctorate in international affairs. Very controversial figure.
Very, very controversial because
on one hand, he's a Nobel Peace Prize winner in 1973. He won the Nobel Prize for brokering the end of the Vietnam War.
Right.
But then during the Vietnam War, the most famous controversy was the bombing of Cambodia.
Right.
So the people of Cambodia would probably like a word.
That
was
well. It wasn't just bombing; it was a carpet bombing, right?
Yes.
Isn't that part of the issue too? Was it just was like nondescript, just bomb everything, everyone?
And then there was the whole Chilean incident where he supported
the overthrow of the government.
The overthrow of the government.
That small thing.
Not small. And then there was the whole Pakistan issue where he supported the Pakistani side as they were committing genocide.
Okay. Right.
So. Yeah. Pretty significant. He, they say that he was an advocate of realpolitik, which is this pragmatic form of politics that centers around power. So he always had the United States as the reigning supreme power in mind and not necessarily like the people of South Vietnam or the people of Cambodia or anything like that. So
interesting. Or that we know best, I guess.
Yeah,
some
we
of
know
that
best.
Too, right?
Yeah.
Which gets us into trouble.
Right.
And has time and time again in many cases.
And he opened up relations with China, which has had various effects,
Mm-hmm.
Some good, some bad. So,
true. Because here we are now with the because before that we had relations with Taiwan, more official government to government relations, and he was the one that was instrumental in kind of shifting that, I believe, to the People's Republic of China, much to the anger of Taiwan,
right, and now of course we're codependent on China,
right,
so So, you know, I mean, on one hand, people call him a hero. On the other hand, people call him a war crime criminal. It's
right.
Like, it's like, he's probably somewhere in the mix.
Yeah. But definitely had his hand. And he was pretty active right up until recently, I believe.
He visited China when he was like 99.
Yeah, that's what
I
remember.
Whole.
Yeah. So he was still he was still pretty active. And, you know, I think I can't remember the last time I saw him in an interview, but it wasn't too long ago, I don't think, that he was, you know, talking, you know, people were asking him his opinions about whatever, and he freely gave them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wild, wild character.
Right.
But one of the greats as far as just impact on.
True.
On things, on history.
Whether
basically.
Positive or negative.
History of the world.
You think.
Yeah.
But yeah. He certainly has been involved for decades.
Yeah.
In world politics. So interesting. Okay.
That's very cool.
Thanks for bringing that to
us
this week. Speaking of old people, the Carters. We lost
Rosalind
Carter this weekend. What, 97?
97, married to Jimmy for over 70 years.
Right, and he's, what, 99?
Yeah. Been on hospice since February, which, shout out to hospice.
Right.
People can stay on hospice for a long time.
Yes.
It's a common misconception.
True. Right.
So, but yeah.
And talking about all of his accomplishments and his credit to her for supporting him throughout all the things he wanted to do, like run for president, be governor of Georgia, and all those different things.
So, right.
Just an amazing, amazing couple. And to see him at that service was touching, because I'm sure it took a lot to get him there and, you know, in his condition. And, you know, we wish him well, but, he doesn't look good. He looks pretty frail.
He does look pretty frail.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he's 99, man.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I know.
Yeah, that's there was a great picture of all the former first ladies filing into Rosalind's funeral.
Yeah, that was nice that they were all there. That was one of her wishes, I think, too.
Yes.
Wasn't it? That she asked that they all just, you know, put aside their political differences and come together and be at her funeral.
Yes.
They didn't care about the husbands, I don't think.
No, but love that. The girl power. Ladies.
Right.
Girl power. Yeah.
So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
But sad that she is gone. But again, a lot of nice remembrances about her and, again, the contributions. The thing I find amazing is that they still lived in the same house in, like, Plains, Georgia, where they lived since the 1960s.
Yeah, isn't that
despite
crazy?
All the fame, fortune, and, you know, I mean, the trappings of being a former president. I mean, obviously they had probably some security and other things added to the house, but, you know, still in that very modest, I think, home.
Yeah, and they still, for a long time until they became frail, were like active members of their church, and Jimmy mowed the church lawn every other week, and Rosalind cleaned the bathrooms,
right.
And just real salt of the earth people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Well, and their work with Habitat for Humanity.
Sure, he was
Jimmy
doing
Carter,
that
well known
in
for that.
Yeah. Cutting wood.
So,
yeah.
Just really great. Lives by example, I think.
Yes.
Is what we don't see a lot of that these days.
No, they're... Yeah, they're setting the bar high.
Right. So, anyway, we remember the Carters today as well. So, there you go.
Wow.
Meantime.
I don't know anybody old that has died. Before you look at me and ask,
okay.
I don't know.
That's all right. I think Jimmy Carter was one of the first presidents that I remember from my youth, from about that
era. You don't want to go there.
No, we don't want to go there because, yeah.
You're aging yourself.
I am. And Kissinger, too. You know, he was all part of that period in
that
the 70s
period.
And 80s, you know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was Clinton.
Right.
That was my, that was the first one.
Your first one that you remember?
Yeah,
okay.
I remember H.W.
George H.W. Bush.
George H.W.
Okay.
L. Senior.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Papa Bush.
Yeah. All right. There you go.
Formerly known around the Bush household.
Exactly.
Formerly known as Papa Bush.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, interesting political news this week. Gavin Newsom squared off with Ron DeSantis.
It was just last night.
It was just last night. So people think Gavin is positioning himself in case something happens to Joe Biden.
I guess I just don't understand the thinking behind why Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, would agree to a debate with a person who's not even a candidate.
Yeah, that's...
Right?
And DeSantis is, of course, falling in the polls as well.
Right.
So
yeah.
It was an interesting choice.
His hearing is coming up, right? Here soon?
Who's?
Trump's?
Santos.
No.
No, Santos doesn't have any.
You may be talking about Congressman George Santos.
Oh, yeah.
This is Governor
DeSantis. We're talking about DeSantis.
Ron DeSantis from Florida.
George Santos, yes, the hearing is coming up.
Right.
And yes, that's
the vote is today,
actually,
to expel him from Congress.
Yes.
He would be the sixth person expelled from Congress throughout history.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's concerned that he might be expelled even though he's not a traitor and or a convicted felon.
Yes.
That's the precedence that people are talking about.
Yeah.
Is that maybe, you know, he shouldn't be expelled because he's not these things. And everyone else who's been expelled has been either a traitor working for the Confederacy or part of the Confederacy during the Civil War.
Right.
Or convicted of criminal offenses in a court of law. And he has not yet been convicted. He's been accused and indicted, but not yet convicted. So there's
He's a mess.
But he's a self-admitted liar, too.
He's a mess. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is that.
So
anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be historic.
Bad, everybody.
Yeah.
It's hard to quite hear you. I had to boost everybody.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But we're talking about Governor Ron DeSantis and California Governor Gavin Newsom facing off last night at this debate on Fox, which was, I mean, it was interesting. And it kind of talks about the two different parties, and they're both governors of very popular states, so, you know, different policies, and certainly there's a difference between Florida and California, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yet they both have a certain major American theme park.
That's really what's bringing them across the aisle.
Maybe that's it.
That's bringing them across the aisle.
Maybe that's it. The hands across right there.
Yes.
The power of the mouse.
The power of the mouse. Aw. It's true, though, on one hand.
Yeah. But again, I don't understand the logic behind, you know, agreeing to do this with Mr. DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, against Governor Newsom when Newsom isn't even a candidate. Why would you debate someone unless I guess you just wanted to get your opinions out there and your policies out there?
I think I think any news is not good news necessarily, but you're getting yourself out there over and over again.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you're falling in the poll, so I guess if you're DeSantis, you figure, well, we'll get some airtime.
Get some
FaceTime.
Get some more FaceTime. And I think people think that it's possible that Newsom will actually maybe be on the ticket. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Interesting.
Oh, so it's like a preemptive strike.
Right. If Newsom's going to be on the ticket, then you're the first one to get in there. I don't know.
Take him. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's like chess.
I don't think Gavin Newsom would agree to be a vice president.
No.
Candidate on the
ticket.
No,
I think he's angling for president.
If Biden decides he doesn't want to run.
Right, or something happens with his health or something like that.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Interesting.
It's a mad world out there.
It is. Well, and politics has always been fascinating to me, you know, and a lot of the thought behind the reasoning behind these things that happen.
Right.
I'm sure there's a lot more that goes on behind the scenes that we don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Anyway, I didn't see the whole debate, but I saw clips of it this morning.
Yeah.
So it looked like it was interesting.
I didn't see any of it. So.
Okay. Well, there you go. We'll watch it later.
Yeah. Everybody can just grab some popcorn.
It is the peak of the holiday season, at least in Farmington, because every single holiday event happens this week, it seems. We were at the parade last night, and we invite you to watch some of the scenes. It's on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. We were there with our KSJE on the road equipment. It was a beautiful parade. I mean, it was very festive. Lots of entries.
It was the theme was New Mexico.
Christmas in New Mexico.
Yeah.
So. And it went for maybe about an hour and 40 minutes.
Something like that.
About
two.
More than 70 entries, and really fun to see. So, and the weather cooperated. You know, we were thinking it might be raining or snowing during the parade, but that hasn't happened.
Which, you know what? You were absolutely right, because when we had finished packing up everything, we were going home, you're like, I feel rain?
Yeah.
By the time I got home, I actually saw it on my windshield.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, it did sprinkle a little bit
as we were wrapping up. But again, we haven't seen, the forecast has been way off, because we were supposed to get all this rain yesterday, and didn't really happen, except for a couple sprinkles. And then again today, we're supposed to get more rain today, but so far, maybe there's a little bit this morning, but not too much.
Our weather guy, he's kind of off a little bit. You know? But he's
not just our weather guy, but all weather guys.
Yeah.
I mean, even the big fancy credentialed meteorologists are off. So
that's
interesting. But I know the college is watching the weather really carefully because, of course, big luminaria display tomorrow night.
Yes.
Today is the day when they set everything out, so we don't want rain today to impact that setup. And so as of right now, as of 8:29 a.m. Friday morning, everything is a go for tomorrow, beginning at 6 p.m.
And hopefully we will be out there for everybody to watch if they're not planning coming. I mean, we would love for you guys to come. We would hope that you guys come and drive around or walk around.
Yeah.
Because I'm pretty sure Megan will love to talk to you guys.
Yes.
Megan will be out and about.
I'll be out and about, ready to chit-chat.
Roving. Yeah. Oh. Exactly.
Roven.
All part of our
Trying
coverage.
To warm my hands up.
So, yeah. So, again, we will be airing the Luminary Sights and Sounds tomorrow night, beginning at 6 p.m. from 6 to about 10:30.
Yeah.
You know, multiple reports throughout the evening, but we hope to share a little bit with you. But you're welcome to come and drive through the display or walk through the display here at Santa Monica College. But I know there's a lot of folks maybe who are out of town and can't come in person, so they can watch it on their screens.
Yeah.
Which is kind of cool. Just like you can do the parade and everything else. And then for the final event, we will be back at the Festival of Trees on Sunday at noon, which is the big drawing when they announce all the winners of all the trees and wreaths and everything else that they are giving away from the Festival of Trees. And so we'll be airing that live again on our Facebook page. So
there we go.
You can watch that as well.
Busy, so, busy, busy.
Yeah. Have you been to the Festival of Trees yet, Megan Collins?
I have. Usually I go at some point.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. So, any comments?
It's pretty. It's pretty.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Nice. There's a basin tree down there, isn't there?
Basin teamed up with Sexual Assault Services.
Nice.
So we have a co-tree.
Very good. Very cool. Okay. I know KSJE has a tree. San Juan College, of course, has a tree. And congrats to San Juan College. They took first place from the committee for their tree. And
they did.
The KSJE tree took second place.
Yeah.
For our dinosaur-themed tree, which was designed by Paulette Stanley. So shout out to her and all the volunteers who put that together. But very exciting.
What was the name? I like when you say the name.
Our name of our tree, the dinosaur-themed tree?
Yes.
Jurassic Bark. Thank you.
Yeah. It's just joy.
Yeah.
It's great.
Right? It has an actual dinosaur head on top of the tree.
I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the
And little tiny hands sticking out of the tree.
And feet.
That Paulette is very creative.
She is very creative.
I'm so glad
that she does that because I have not as much creativity as she does.
She's a good lady.
Awesome.
Yeah, very true. So anyway. Speaking of dinosaurs.
Oh, look at you and your nice little segue. I was captivated. I was sent this video about how the T-Rex doesn't sound like from Jurassic Park. Sorry, Park.
Right. Not Jurassic Park.
Yeah. You know, the famous T-Rex.
The big roar?
Yeah.
What?
So that roar actually is created by overlapping a baby elephant, a tiger, and an alligator. That's the sound effects that they use. So when it roars, it's the elephant and the tiger put together. And when it does its growl, it's the gator and the tiger.
Oh.
So that's how they do it. And when it does its hissing, again, it's from the gators.
Wow.
So that's how they created it for the movie, because back then, that was the closest representation as they could get. I mean, they never knew the sounds, but the look and everything was the closest to what we understood what dinosaurs look like and stuff.
Okay.
Studies have went around, and our very own Sandia Labs has started doing this, and they started checking out the vocal cords of not just the T-Rex, but many other dinosaurs. But they had come to the conclusion after studying the T-Rex that the sound that they heard is not even close, that the sound is actually more eerier than that.
Ew.
And they also had help from the geoscience department from the University of Texas, who also studied the T-Rex's skeleton and the how would you say cavity inside, and how the brain and everything inside is put in there. What Texas has found was that the muscles and all the spots for the ears were highly developed. They had a lot more tensity to it, and they were actually more sensitive to it. That's why they're one of the bigger apex predators, because they could hear a lot better.
Well, they could hear those kids running around in that kitchen.
In the park, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
And they could just eat them up. You know,
that's well documented in several films. We see that, yes.
But that's what they found, is that the T-Rex could actually hear for miles and miles, and that's what helped them figure out where potential food was at, potential predators, or for them is more combatants, basically, and to also help communicate, because with them having such sensitive ears, they couldn't use those roars because it would actually hurt them more. So what they found out, that the more closer that they looked at it, it was closer to the sound of what I was explaining to Scott, is like the Jaws theme song, big cello or the big bass, right? That big low rumble
okay.
mixed in with what you would use, like the non-vocal, non or non how you, I would say non-vocal, but non-outspoken vocal muscles. More like birds.
A growl?
Yeah, more like birds and actual gators use. You know, it's more of a little rumble and sounding tone. Mm. It's not so much projected. It's just soft.
Okay.
But it, as they discovered it, that the rumble would be so terrifying and it would vibrate inside your own head. Like if a human being was actually be followed by a T-Rex and it got close enough, like in the scene when the kids are next to that or in the car in the Jurassic Park and the dinosaur yells at them, it would have been a lot more terrifying and a lot more damaging to the kids because the low rumble of it is just earthquaking.
It would.
Ugh. And that's how they communicate with each other.
Gross.
Was these low roll tumbles. Yeah, and it's very
not
scary.
Selling it to Megan.
Gross.
Like, yeah, so like the scary parts in the movies where you hear those low rumbles, those are more accurately closer to what a T-Rex would sound, besides using the actual gators or birds and stuff like that to have that more of a growl pitch to it.
And I would think just the size of it, too, right?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Because they were so big that and you're talking about, I think, some of the brain cavities, right? Like the sinus cavities and things like that, that it would kind of bounce around and echo around in there and then come out. And,
yeah, basically.
And really they would just kind of reverberate through the air.
Yeah. And again, it was never outspoken or anything. It was never long range.
Yeah.
It was just enough to the surrounding area. And again, since they had such great hearing, other T-Rexes near them could actually pick it up. I mean, again, it's not like massive 100 miles away, but, you know, within a good confines of each other, they could hear it.
But they were loud.
Yes.
They were when they wanted to be, I guess, is the point.
Yeah,
is
I mean,
the point.
They give you this great rumble, and it was terrifying.
Interesting. Because I remember seeing, you know, watching like maybe a behind-the-scenes thing of the Jurassic Park movie about all the research they did into trying to get the sound as accurate as they could, and I think that's maybe why they were trying to come up with, you know, what do these things, you know, what could these things have sounded like by using what we knew since they're kind of related to birds, yet there may be a reptilian, you know, characteristics as well. And maybe that's where they came up with some of those original sounds for what they thought sounded like.
I think also in the movie that they said the raptors were not accurate, but it was closer to what they had mentioned. I mean, because they actually had a 3D model of the vocal.
Wow.
And the 3D model of it. Yeah, the 3D model of it was also based off of an Aztecian war tool. The Aztecs had a similar tool that had like this really scary screech. So when they would go into war and, you know, people were around them, they would blow into this type of device and it would make this weird screech. And the same idea that they had gone for the
raptor. Psychological warfare.
Yeah. The Aztecs had a very psychological warfare aspect to that. And that's where they got the idea for the raptor and they tried to make the 3D model. But they said there might be some inaccuracies about it, but it's somewhat.
All right.
Because I remember that too. I remember watching that behind the scenes.
Yeah. Cool.
Wow.
Okay.
But yeah. So.
There you go.
For those who are wondering,
so they
about the
weren't
T-Rex
tweeting around the forest like birds is what you're
telling us. No, and the whole idea about feathers weren't accurate. It's more like hairs would have been more like an elephant would have been, like how elephants have the hairs on their backs. That's how they compare what an actual T-Rex's skin would have been like.
Ugh.
They're not the full feathers or anything like that, but
well, it's just terrifying because, you know, it's like when you watch like a scary movie and it's the soundtrack is like the scariest part.
Yeah.
That gets you like primed, that pumps the prime or primes the pump for like being afraid. So
Yeah. Okay. Well, you're welcome.
Thank you.
We're glad that we've given you nightmares.
Yeah, exactly. It's
of dinosaurs.
I'm gonna be dreaming of dinosaurs tonight.
And to bring it back full circle, the person who really kind of built off of that fear is
Henry Kissinger.
Almost.
Full circle.
Mr. Williams, the man who did the soundtrack for Jaws, who made a career in making soundtracks and using the music to make a scene more intense.
Yes.
That was John Williams.
John Williams.
Right.
And then everybody else kind of, I mean, it was somewhat a little bit before, but John Williams really did it for Jaws.
Okay.
That whole da-da was the whole buildup for that whole
intense
scene.
And that still won't let me go in the ocean ever.
Yes.
That movie.
And it created this whole genre for movies. To make all these creepy sounds.
Interesting. Okay. All right. Well, there you go.
There you go.
Okay.
Wow.
That's it's interesting.
That's interesting.
You cannot disagree, right?
No, that's very interesting. And pretty amazing that we're replicating sounds.
Right.
From these eras.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
With some science behind it. Not just making an educated guess. I mean, we kind of are, but, you know, at least we're trying to base it on something.
Right.
Yeah.
So there you go. Very cool. All right. All right, everyone, it's your turn. This is the That's Interesting program here on KSJE. We invite you to call in, and you can share what's interesting in your world in our remaining moments this morning, 505 566-3909. What are your holiday plans? What's your favorite tree at the Festival of Trees? What was your favorite entry last night at the Farmington Christmas Parade? We should mention that there are holiday parades planned for both Bloomfield, I believe, and Aztec coming up in the next 7 days or so. So there's a lot more opportunities to see parades in the area.
Yes.
So that's exciting. But yeah, there you go.
Hopefully before I get to go on my trip, I can go see some.
Yeah. You already saw one.
I know.
You can see more, though.
But it's like trying to collect them all.
You know? Okay.
See them all.
There you go. I think you should. Perfect.
Got to collect them all. It's like Pokemon.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly. Megan Gullup, you've got plans for the holidays? Are you going to be here? Are you going to be traveling?
I'm going to be here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we get Christmas Day off.
Nice.
We work Christmas Eve. Although I think Christmas Eve is Sunday this year.
I think you're right.
So,
I believe so.
So that's nice. Christmas Day is a Monday. I'll be in town, be with friends.
Okay.
It'll be fun.
Nice.
I'm already trying to think through. I don't do a lot of Christmas gifts. I only do very specific
people.
Right.
People, you know.
Okay.
I kind of have a thing where I do something you want, something you need, and something to read.
Oh.
So it's like a cluster of gifts, and it's, you know. Ooh. So like one person, I got an album, like an LP, it's something you want. Then I got a book that's very in line with kind of the type of stuff he reads, and then hair ties because he has long hair.
Oh.
So
okay.
Practical, something you need.
Right. Okay.
So,
nice.
Why'd you look at me when you said that?
Thoughtful.
Because somebody needs a haircut here.
I know.
Not me.
It's long.
It's not
maybe
Scott.
Maybe a barrette is what he needs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
I do have one. Oh, no, I don't have a barrette. No.
Okay.
I thought I did, but I
hat.
Have we'll cubic zirconia.
He's got a hat to wear later today.
Yeah.
So.
He'll be all set. But there you go. Nice. Very good. Well, I guess that wraps up the show.
All right.
Is it?
Right? We're out of time.
What?
I know.
Who said?
Mick Hess is chomping at the bit to get in here.
Yeah, he's ready.
For the next show. But yeah, but before we go, we want to remind you about a couple other things that are going on, everybody. Next week, we'll be back, Megan and I, with our Solutions from the Street program.
Yes.
Right?
We'll be talking about the Memorial for the Unclaimed, the annual. This will be the fifth annual.
Is it the fifth annual? Holy smokes.
Bananas?
It is.
So,
banana.
Because that's a Megan Cullip production.
Yes.
You know, you brought that to our community.
Yes, yeah.
Which I am forever grateful for. And if you're not familiar with what that is, this is an opportunity to remember people in our community who passed away during the year who didn't have any family or friends to really... I guess claim the body, basically, right?
Yep, claim the remains. So, we read their names and we do. It's a service of music, a brief message, and some poetry. It's just kind of a contemplative time, and it's not long. I mean, it's probably like a 40-minute service tops.
Yeah.
So.
And it really just depends on how many names there are to read. Unfortunately,
on how
from
many
year
names
to year,
there are. And I know. It'll be at Artifacts this year, which is just a nice venue. And
right, December 20th.
Yeah.
And December we're going to do a show next week. To kind of give all the details a little bit more about what you're planning, but that's our Solutions on the Street program next week. And then we'll be back with our That's Interesting show on the first, third, and fifth Friday. So again, because of the holiday, that may get preempted a little bit, but we'll kind of fill you in on all that as we get closer.
Yeah.
But next week we know we're going to be here with Solutions from the Street.
Yes.
So even if Scott Duran won't be.
Okay.
I'm not part of the show anyway.
You'd be in the Lone Star State.
I'm not part of Solutions from the Street.
No,
I'm
but, you're a fan,
just,
but you're a fan.
I am. Yeah. I just say I just watch from the windows.
That's true. That's very true. So that's cool. Tomorrow morning, Megan Cullip has a music show.
Yes. Radio Free Saturday morning, 9 to 11 a.m. every Saturday morning, the eclectic music mix. And I remember the theme.
Okay.
Tomorrow's theme is fitting in.
Oh.
Or not fitting in.
Okay.
Fitting in or not.
Talking about clothes? No.
Personalities.
Personalities.
Okay.
Right. So lots of songs about that.
Interesting. All right.
Yes.
Cool. All right. And then, of course, Megan will be back Saturday evening for our special holiday music coverage during the Luminaria event. So we'll have you on the air Saturday night as well.
And it's holiday music that you've probably never heard before because it's sort of like interesting covers of old classics that are... You know, very indie.
Okay.
So, it'll be interesting stuff.
Good. Well, thanks for sharing that with us, too. So, very good. Scott Duran, you have a show tomorrow, too.
I do. We're finishing up the Ramon Santos, the the Barracha music. This would be the
not
end.
George Santos.
No.
Not Ron DeSantis.
No.
Okay, just making sure.
All right, say that again. Say
one more time.
Ron DeSantis. Okay, sorry. Okay. But no, Ramon Santos.
Thank you.
He was very famous for Barracha music, especially in the more modern area.
Right.
You know, so we're going to be finishing up that. That's going to be the end of our little segment on him. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it, I think, for that show for World Beyond 11.
Okay. 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
And then you'll have another segment in the evening,
I do. I got some classic Christmas music for you guys to listen to as you're out there and all that stuff. So
you're going driving through the luminarias or walking through? Because yes. We'll turn on the speakers and blast the music throughout
campus.
We love doing that.
Yeah. We actually start doing that today.
Yeah.
We're going to go and put some CDs that we have here and let everybody listen to that. Holiday
music in the air. So for our neighbors at Simon College, mm-hmm. enjoy the music.
Yes.
Yes.
But don't call us and complain. But just enjoy the music.
Yes.
There you go. That's right. Perfect.
So
awesome. Very good. And then, again, if you have an idea for Solutions from the Street, mm-hmm. you can send us an email with a suggestion, right, Megan?
At ksje@sanjuancollege.edu.
There you go.
We'd love to follow up. That would be great.
We will check it out. So, perfect. All right.
Look at that.
Well, there you go, everybody. That is the show.
Woo!
So, thank you all for joining us, everyone. We will be back in a couple of weeks. We'll be back next week, of course, with Solutions from the Street. Mm-hmm. Until then, have a safe and happy holiday season. And we'll see you right here on KSJE.
Did you enjoy that podcast? We hope that you did. And if you did, share it with your friends. And if you really want to keep podcasts like this coming, please support KSJE. You can do it easily online at ksje.com.